Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
Are you sure that's our names? Because I feel like a fan, I assume it's a fan, changed our names.
I mean, they're still Joel and Chris.
True. We're going to address this like later on, but really he was saying that his name was Joel with yes. that long last name.
Yes.
Okay. Well, anyways, let's
address that now.
Okay, well, it's time for the mail sack.
It's too silly.
Mail sack, why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack, let's all go inside. Mail sack, why is there hair in this mail sack? Mail sack.
It's your mail sack.
Okay.
So yes, this rare mail sack segment starting at the beginning of the show comes to you from a fan that posted on Inside Pulse.
Yes.
InsidePulse.com/wrestling. This person's name is apparently Joel, last name, smells like burnt nut hair. All one word.
Yes.
No hyphens. So, first of all, let's just address that. This person is saying that they smell like that, or you do.
I don't.
And B, it's an audio podcast. We don't have that kind of technology. And C, Joel can't smell anything. He doesn't have the ability to smell.
Side note for anybody who's like, I don't know if that's ever come up on the podcast.
I don't either, but
I have no actual sense of smell.
Something that I actually did not learn until a few months ago after like, knowing Joel for like 7 years.
Like, it's a thing. It's a genetic thing? I don't know.
Anyway.
It's a real thing. Look it up. I don't have a sense of smell.
Well, we saw the Dewey Cox story. We know it's a thing. Come on. Going to the actual comment that Joel smells like burnt nut hair said, I can't listen to this podcast anymore. Joel's voice burns a hole in my eardrums. His opinions are laughable, and I feel brain dead after listening. Chris, that's me, you sounded like you were wearing donut PJ pants. The predictions are supposed to be fun. He's referring to our way too early
the WrestleMania
32 predictions. Why be uptight? Male genitalia about it. Annoying. Annoying is its own sentence.
Okay.
It's an hour of my life I'll never get back. This podcast should be renamed Cena's Boyfriend's Dish on Excrement. That doesn't matter. Initially, I just replied on Inside Pulse saying, thanks for listening. Always great to hear from a true fan with a little heart next to it.
Mr. Smells Like, if you are out there listening. And I don't know that you are because it sounds like...
Apparently, you're never going to listen to us again because you feel like we're a waste of time.
First of all, apologies for the hole I'm currently burning in your ear.
But I've got nothing to apologize for.
But if you,
I just need to buy some new pants, apparently.
If you are, I would love to have you on this podcast in any way, shape, or form. Like, if we could work something up, you know, where you can actually speak on this podcast, great, top
Maybe
notch.
We can come up with a filter that you can have on your earphones so Joel's voice doesn't automatically kill you. I'm a part of saying
Get
hello.
You up on Skype and we'll both just write notes so that nobody's ears get burned.
There you go.
Or, I mean, if you just want to write your own opinions, I'm giving Mr. Smells Like a one-time free pass. We will read your opinions on this in contrary to whatever opinions we might be giving out.
Right.
Because right now I'm fascinated in them.
Yeah, and...
Oh, so thoroughly. But I feel like you should know...
I feel like this person missed the entire point of the predictions.
Well, first of all, I feel like the predictions were lighthearted.
Right. I mean, we got a little animated, but that's in the fun about it.
Also, it's my game.
Yeah.
I made it up.
Years ago. Even before the podcast, when you were just writing your column.
Yeah.
This was your thing that you came up with. Like 5 years ago, maybe.
More than that.
Right.
I mean, I've been doing this since 27, I think?
So about five, yeah.
Yeah, oh, well, okay, fine.
Yeah, so I was right.
A solid point.
Yes.
I withdraw.
So, A, it's Joel's game. We can play it however
So if I want to make the rules, you have to take this super seriously.
Right.
You lose a finger for every time you get one wrong.
But we never have.
No.
And B... For a guy saying that we're really uptight about it, you're really uptight about saying that it's a waste of your time. And also, if it's such a waste of your time, It's a free podcast. You didn't have to pay money for it. But
I think most importantly of all, the thing we really have to address is at the recording of this podcast, and coincidentally at the recording of the podcast this comment was made on, exactly half of us were wearing pajama pants. And neither occasion, it was Chris.
Right. I always come here straight from work dressing in my work clothes, which is usually jeans, t-shirt, and a baseball hat.
I am wearing the pajama pants right now.
Almost always it's Joel wearing the pajamas. I don't understand this.
But apparently it doesn't read in my voice.
Yes, apparently I need to project that blue collar wearing jeans all the time sound. So I'm guessing from here on out I have to do a Brett Favre impersonation, I guess. I don't know. So to this person, if you never respond to us or if you never listen to us again or whatever the case may be, what's your deal?
No. I genuinely
want, I know, like, Joel wants interaction. This goes all the way back to the Pat thing, because that open invitation with Pat still exists. Maybe this is the same person, I don't know. But it's one of those things where it's like no one's holding a gun to your head, you know? And I feel like if you're going to get so angry with our voices, then why listen in the first place? Whatever, you know, I don't want to be that kind of like the cocky podcast host, be like, go away, we don't need you, you know, because that in itself is way too uptight and not us at all. We from day one generally are positive people, because that was kind of our mission statement, because you can go on iTunes and find
300 people.
Who 300 who are two guys sitting there complaining about wrestling, being cynical, being, you know, uptight about it. Yeah, we can be cynical and we can be uptight about some things, but I feel like the vast majority of the time, we are positive guys.
Focused on looking on the bright side of things.
Right, and if that doesn't work for you, okay.
See the aforementioned 300 podcasts.
Right, like, go somewhere else then. Like, you know, you don't have to pay money for it, so you don't feel like you're wasting your money. I'm sorry you feel like you're wasting your time, but there's nothing I can do about that.
There's something we can do about that. Please write back to this podcast. Whatever opinions we express over the next 40 minutes to an hour or so, I welcome, please, the response to those opinions.
I still don't take responsibility for wasting his time. That, if you feel like you wasted your time, that's poor management on your behalf. Because, honestly, podcasts are part of a multitasking thing for me. I listen to podcasts while I'm doing other stuff. So if you're just sitting in your room angry with a pair of headphones on, listening to a podcast, and that's it, and then you feel like at the end that you've wasted your life, that's on you.
I mean, we do, in all fairness, we do mix this with the intention of it being listened on some sort of player through headphones.
Right.
Maybe it is a surround sound situation, and we've just not ever mixed for
a surround sound situation.
For a surround sound, high depth, autophile,
you know what?
Definite kind of thing.
Joel, you're right. Neil, I know you're listening to us. Neil's our editor, our engineer as far as MP3s and all that stuff goes. Neil, I need you to specifically start mixing and engineering this to fit All audio systems. Small or big, it doesn't matter. So everyone, you're going to get this podcast on iTunes like next month when he finally gets around to doing all that, because, you know, Neil has a life too. Yeah. So, you know, we got to account for everything.
We'll definitely have this in the Classic Entire store. You can buy it on vinyl.
It's going to be amazing. Because we'll turn into those hipsters.
We'll start pressing them. We'll press each individual podcast.
Guys, Irrelevant But Awesome Productions is going to corner the market on vinyl records. We are leading the way. Never been done before.
Vinyl podcast records.
Excuse me.
Plenty of vinyl records already out there.
Not so much anymore. I feel like we can really corner this market and carry it to the future. The future is vinyl. All
right.
All those other points that this person bring up, I feel like, are crap. But we will absolutely be naming this podcast Cena's Boyfriend's Dish on Excrement That Don't Matter. Might tweak a little bit.
Since we are in the mail sack alarmingly early this week, is there any other mail sack that we need to address?
No. It's just a weird way for you to address that, but no, there's not. That was really just that. Extreme rules happen.
All right, extreme rules happen.
Well, I should say this. When I did put out the call for mail sack submissions, our own Blair did comment, extreme rules sucked, and so did the King of the Ring. And that was it. So way to be, you know, constructive there, Blair.
Well, you know what, Blair? I did smells like burnt nut hair. Your voice burns a hole in my ear, and you sound like you're wearing pajama pants.
But he typed it to us.
I could tell it in the clack of the keyboard.
True. Yes, yes. That's how he originally said through our voices that Joel smells like that.
That's true.
And also, let it be known that we have been laughing at that comment all weekend. Dear Lord. So even if it was done in like semi-jest and you knocked it out of the park, we thought it was hilarious.
Yeah.
And I might be getting a pair of donut PJs out of it, thanks to Joel's lovable, incredibly awesome fiance.
Yes. So next person to insult this podcast, if you could address my attire into something that sounds extremely comfortable, that'd be swell.
Joel, you sound like a really, really soft blanket.
All right. Oh, yeah, extreme rules happen.
Yeah, extreme rules.
We talked about wrestling on this
thing.
Did
happen.
I feel like we should have an outro. We don't usually have to have an outro to the mail sack. Need to write a new jingle.
As always, you can catch us on Twitter. No. Okay. Let's go into extreme rules. The pre-show was Neville and Bad News Barrett. Neville ended up winning. We didn't know it at the time, but it eventually became a precursor to the finals of the King of the Ring match with a much different outcome, but, you know, whatever.
Speaking of Daniel Bryan has been pretty much removed from everything.
Right, and, you know, a lot of people are saying concussion. Some people are saying it's a relapse of the neck injury. WWE's not saying anything, which is kind of alarming, because usually they like to be upfront about that. Or at least, you know, be the ones to break the news or whatever.
Honestly, at this point, and at this point not knowing really much of anything about it.
And it could just be as simple as, you know, we're just kind of waiting to see how it plays out with Daniel before we give him a timetable or whatever.
Yeah.
We don't want to, you know, alarm people too quickly.
Right.
Which is the responsible thing to do on their part.
Yeah, and you know what? I was pretty big into, like Dan Bryan's the next – this time last year, Dan Bryan's the next big thing. Let's go. We got to really go through with this, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
But really kind of what I'm hoping for right now, because, you know, hate to say it, but this Yes Movement thing has cooled to some extent.
Right.
And it's still there, but it's not there. And once was, Dan Bryan will get a big pop.
People will still chant Yes.
He returns.
But that's about it.
Yeah. But I kind of want the couple of year retirement thing that Shawn Michaels had for Daniel Bryan to really kind of heal, like for real heal, not this like good enough to go back in the ring kind of heal.
Mm-hmm.
But if you give him, and you know what, like Daniel Bryan's 33 right now.
Yeah.
Shawn Michaels came back from retirement at either 34 or 35.
Mm-hmm.
So Daniel Bryan could take a year, 2 years, even 3 years off, and still come back and have a solid multi-year career.
Right. And I would rather him do that, having a solid couple years, than try to limp through 5-6 years, you know, and then just...
Where he can wrestle for 3 months and then have to take another 6 months off to heal.
I'd rather him take extra time off, properly heal, and then once he feels like he can go, come back and, you know...
Yeah.
And
I run through it. I don't need anybody else getting that Cena schedule.
No.
Where they heal magically in 2 months.
Right.
I
still think Cena made some sort of deal with Satan. There's not no other explanation I could find.
I mean, this just... And that was the kind of thing. It's, you know, looking at, like, you know what? Shawn Michaels did his best work post that. And it was, I mean, what year did he come back?
2002. Yeah.
So,
left in 98, came back in 2002.
All right, and so between 2002 and he retired in 2010, this is an 8-year career.
That's an entire WWE career for most guys.
Yeah.
But for him, that was the second half of it.
Right, and I think Daniel Bryan can very easily, I mean, again, I don't know anything about his actual health or injury, because right. we haven't talked, you know, gotten any information about that. But from what I know, you know, from what we can go on, there's no reason why we can't sacrifice 2 years right now and get a great long Daniel Bryan career right. in the future.
Yeah, I completely agree. So moving on to the actual show, we have the Chicago Street Fight match. I chuckled a little bit when I saw this because they listed the official time as 56 minutes. Dean Ambrose versus Luke Harper, part one.
Yeah, so still not as long as the Iron Man match that went on an hour.
That's what an Iron Man match is there, Joel.
Well, an Iron Man match could go on any amount of time. You just have to...
set the time?
Yeah.
Whatever. Okay, fine. Okay, so...
Now who stands corrected? You. You stand corrected.
Okay, can we just... Okay, just move on.
No, I think we should really, really drill into this Iron Man thing.
All right, your podcast, go for it.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay.
What were you going to say?
So Dean... I'll drop my phone. Dean ended up winning over Luke Harper after coming back. Yep. So the whole... I did hear somebody say this once. It would have been funny if they drove off in one car, then come back in a completely different car and never explained what happened. Because that's what's essentially going to happen. Like, you know, why did they drive away and what happened during this entire time? And when did they, you know, and how do you explain in kayfabe that they came back precisely when another match was not happening?
Yeah.
You know? Honestly, I would have think it would have been hilarious if, you know, he came back during a
match. In the middle of another match.
If they, like, stretched this out and they came back during a Divas match, that would have been amazing. That would have been great.
It really would have given Divas a chance.
Yep.
But...
I mean, well, WWE's eyes, that's how they would explain it, yes.
Yeah, I mean... So, it could be a... There's a lot that you have to, like... brush under the rug because
would those two guys stay in a car together that long?
Yeah, did they not fight while they were on the road?
And why come back and continue to fight?
But these are the kind
same
of
car.
Things you don't have to talk
about because wrestling isn't real.
Yep,
I know. We all saw the video multiple times,
and this is a perfect example.
It's one of those things where it's like, just you gotta suspend your disbelief for a little bit. And, you know, it was different.
That's the thing. It's like, that's...
Well, different in the sense of we haven't seen this since Goldust and Roddy Piper.
Right. But you know what? That's really the thing I've always been a biggest advocate for is do something different, new, and that's what
right.
it was.
Because like, they build these gimmick stuff, like especially Extreme Rules, like anything can happen, and then, you know, we see the same stuff happen.
Yeah.
You know, so finally... Anything did happen.
Yeah.
They drove away in a car and came back and then threw chairs at the ring.
Yeah. So it's I commend them for originality and creativity, if nothing else. But it was fine. It was two guys who know how to go in the ring, who know how to work well with each other, who put on a decent match.
Yeah. They're going to need to give Luke Harper a string of wins here at some point.
Well... One of them had to, like, both of them were on a pretty big string of, especially pay-per-view losses.
Well, yeah, Dean Ambrose probably hadn't won a...
That's his first one, I think, since October. That's his first pay-per-view win since October, I think.
Okay, yeah, fair enough, I don't know. But still, yeah, like, one of them had to win, obviously, but I feel like at some point they're going to need to, like, let Luke Harper finally, like, you know... build something on his own that isn't just, you know, that guy you face when, you know, you're one of your higher up guys has nothing else to do.
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah, no, pretty much.
I don't know, I mean...
Because I feel like Luke Harper has a lot to contribute.
Yeah.
You know? The only thing is, you know, there's such a bottleneck between the mid and top card. Like,
there is.
You know, there's a top card where, like, you know, the select few that's been the same select few for a while now, but then, like, maybe like a guy like Seth Rollins has kind of poked through, and Daniel Bryan poked through, but there's still like this bottleneck of mid card guys that are, you know, all trying to get through at the same time.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
and somebody's got to lose the matches.
Yeah.
Sadly, more often than not, it's Dolph Ziggler, but whatever.
Exactly. Speaking of that, kind of like. I've been kicking this around kind of back and forth for a little bit now, and I don't even know if I like this and want to, like, advocate it as a good idea. But
go on.
But I was kind of thinking about, like, okay, so Seth is the main event right now, mm-hmm. and who's going to eventually take that title from him?
Yeah,
that kind of thing. And so since pretty much about CM Punk, we have had title runs that have lasted a long time.
Yeah, you would have, like, a small, like, Cena run.
I mean, with the exception of The Rock, who had a painfully obvious start here into your title run.
Right.
I mean, Cena, yeah, had the small interim championship run till mm-hmm. Rock, and Daniels would have been longer had injury not happened.
Right.
But Brock carried it from SummerSlam all the way to WrestleMania.
And even Randy.
Randy
took it off of Daniel after took it off of John Cena.
Yeah.
Randy had a pretty lengthy.
Randy had it from SummerSlam to WrestleMania.
Right.
And before that, Cena had it for a while.
Yeah. Between WrestleMania and SummerSlam, that mm-hmm. is still a pretty decent, you know, jump time.
So we haven't had this rapid turnaround of champions
mm-hmm.
in a long while. And I know a lot of people don't like that. And I tend to not like that because it kind of
cheapens it.
Yeah. But at the same time,
feels a little too much like WCW.
It does. And I get that.
And Attitude Era at the same time. Like,
yeah.
Attitude Era on both comedies, they played hot potato with their championships.
Right. But we have all these Extreme Rules, Battleground, Payback kind of things where you go, oh, yeah, there's a title defense, but it's not one of the big four, so it's not a real risk.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's getting to the point where the title match on Payback is starting to feel like a title match on Raw. We're like, mm-hmm. It's not WrestleMania, it's not SummerSlam, it's not really gonna.
And see, that's really my biggest complaint about Extreme Rules. Like, yeah, you have to build it to where it continues to go, but I'm really getting tired of all these smaller pay-per-views that are trying to build for. You know, these guys are just going to meet up at the next pay-per-view. This is just kind of, you know, we acknowledge that this is going to be a middle thing. And really, like, the pay-per-view, in theory, is supposed to be, like, this is where the resolution happens.
Right.
You know, sometimes the rivalries will move on past this. But this point of the story, this is where that point gets finalized or whatever.
Right.
And, you know, I know they wanted to make the main event feel a little contested at the end. To where you'd be like, well, Randy Orton still should probably get a fair shot at that, you know, mm-hmm. that kind of feel.
Yeah. But, I mean, so if you were to look at one of the things, you know, you have that hot potato Attitude Era mm-hmm. feel, which, you know, people look back on and poo-poo and super hate from WCW.
Mm-hmm.
But that championship going from person to person to person is part of what made there be a roster of like 6 to 8 people who could conceivably be champion at any time.
Right.
And there's people right now, like Dean Ambrose, like Bray Wyatt, who could conceivably champion at any time, except we know that they won't, because they haven't... They haven't broken through the ceiling.
They haven't elevated, yeah.
So, how would you... And again...
Excuse me, I should say haven't been elevated.
Right.
So there you go.
Yeah. Again, I'm not even sure if I like this, but how would you feel about, over the course of like 6 months... have that title go to Dean Ambrose when Bray Wyatt beats him, when Roman Reigns beats him, when Luke Harper beats him.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Just have, like, the, like, short title reigns between a select group of guys.
Yeah.
I don't know, because on one hand, yeah, like, it kind of feels cheap at one point.
It does.
But at the same time, it will elevate, you know, a whole group of guys that once you get to the end of that, you have a roster of 5-6 guys, you know, hopefully if everything goes correctly. Who are prior champions who could, you know, feasibly be in the main event at any given moment of time.
Yeah.
That's a big plus. It's a big gamble it's a big gamble to see if fans will hang around.
It is.
For that.
And here's the thing. If you go for that, I think now is the time to go for that.
Yeah,
because
absolutely
everybody who would do that, except for maybe Roman Reigns, and even Roman Reigns is he's the one guy who hasn't won a champion who could conceivably win a championship
right.
at any moment. But everybody else is a fan favorite.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll be excited that Bray Wyatt won the championship, even if Seth Rollins only held it for a month. They'll be excited that Dolph Ziggler won a championship off of Bray Wyatt, you know, even if it was after a short reign. And again, this is...
And, I mean, if, even if you want to do that for a few months or so and then build that towards one of those gimmick matches that has, like, you know, 5-6 people all going, theoretically, on Elimination Chamber before they got rid of it.
Yeah.
You know, where all these guys would be in a match for the championship and they all could feasibly win it, but at the same time, the people who do, they'll have their own feud, but that specific event would create many feuds within each other that doesn't necessarily involve the championship, and that gives all of them something to do.
Yeah.
Which was kind of like the theory of, like, the SmackDown 6 when Paul Heyman was writing it, you know, these guys that basically would have feuds between, like, a rotation between them, and he would help keep it fresh.
Right. And that's the kind of thing that potential group is sitting right under the belt.
Yeah.
And you can't have, like, the most exciting title matches in the past 5 years that weren't WrestleMania, SummerSlam, or Survivor Series were Daniel Bryan and CM Punk.
Involved in some fashion, yeah.
It was that saga. And that was CM Punk on his second title reign.
Right. Yeah, that was...
That was CM Punk on his second title reign defending against somebody who had never had a title reign before.
Not with the WWE Championship.
Right.
This is a guy coming fresh off of his world heavyweight.
I mean, he was in the world heavyweight, but he had never had a WWE Championship reign.
Yeah.
So... But other than that, everything has been if there's been a guy on his first or second championship reign, he was defending it against a guy who was going for his ninth or his 12th.
Right.
You know, that's the kind of thing is, like, Seth Rollins has it for the first time, and that's great. But he's defending against Randy Orton, and while that's, you know, while the match itself I like, the feud itself I like, and I get, and it does feel natural and organic, and it feels like it has been a long time coming. If Seth Rollins were to defend that title against Dolph Ziggler or against Bray Wyatt, even if it didn't change hands, the fact that this title is between somebody on their first championship reign and the number who has never had it.
Yeah.
That where there is, between the two competitors, less than 3 championship reigns.
Right.
Something we have not seen
in a while.
In a long while.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I can get behind something like that. Just giving other guys opportunities. But without, you know, because you kind of run into that thing where it's like you just don't want a rotation of bad guys or good guys in Seth Rollins' case. You know, this rotation of guys who've never had a chance, but like they come in, they lose or whatever, and then the next guy up, lose, whatever. Because I don't remember what year it was, but like it was like the year when John Cena was champion and would face, like, if 1 month was Great Khali when he was still a big deal.
Yeah.
Bobby Lashley, like, it was just like all these one and done opponents.
Right. It is a balancing act, but right now you have John Cena and Randy Orton as these gatekeepers.
Yeah.
So even when they're not the title holders, they're the ones. And then, as much as I love them, even Brock Lesnar to an extent. Brock Lesnar is this gatekeeper for this new crowd. Mm-hmm. As someone who has held this championship many times for people to bounce off of or to go at it. And so there's not been this new generation has not had their own feud for the title yet.
Yeah. But I feel like, you know, once we get this Randy Orton nonsense taken care of, we'll maybe see that. Possibly. Who knows?
Cross your fingers.
You know, I don't know. It feels like we need, like, this big overhaul of, like, building the mid-card, so to speak.
Yeah.
And elevating, you know, a new select few into, while having that select few kind of be fluid to give and take, like, people who kind of, like, who were there and then just not at that level anymore, or guys coming up that prove that they can
the top card, the way the top card is defined is people who could conceivably have title shots at any moment.
Right.
That's how it is. It's the title. For as much as, like, you go back and forth on, like, how important is the title anymore because of, you know, personal storytelling and grudges and white people fighting and all that stuff, the title defines what the main event scene is.
Right.
The people who could go after that title is what is in the main event.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is, like, Roman Reigns could go after that. He's gone after the title.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had the main event title match. So even though he has not held the title, he is that. Bray Wyatt can't conceivably, we've not built him as somebody who can conceivably go after the title right now.
Mm-hmm.
Ryback used to be. Ryback is not now.
Yeah.
So you need more people who can conceivably go after the title.
I agree. Because then, you know, it's not the same 2-3 guys.
Right,
you
know? Right.
It spreads it out, and it's more profitable for everyone. And, of course, like, certain people are going to get over with the crowd more, you know?
Right.
And WWE has this whole fascination of, you know, circling the wagons around one guy.
Yeah.
You know, especially with Hogan, Cena. We were lucky with Attitude Era with Rock and Stone Cold happening at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But some would still argue that, you know, Austin was more over or whatever. You know, it just Rock was an anomaly, you know.
I mean, yeah, and, you know, there's a lot of, like...
And there's always been debate. There's always will be debate all over who was the guy between the two of those.
Yeah, but the Attitude Era had a worry where you build people up and then the bigger checkbook comes and takes them away. So you were forced through external forces to build up multiple main eventers, which they don't have now. They don't have that external force.
Right.
So they get to do it the way they want to do it.
Yeah. So,
what match are we on?
I don't, the second. this really is Cena's boyfriend's talking about stuff that doesn't matter.
It is. It is indeed. Look at that.
Good title. I take everything bad I ever said about you, Mr. Smells Like. So now we go to the Kiss Me Arse match. Ziggler and Sheamus. Ziggler won. Hooray. Like Ziggler beat Sheamus. That's got to feel a little bit good.
I told you it was going to happen.
I know you did. Remember, I begrudgingly picked Sheamus.
Yeah.
Just because I guess I'm still, like, muscle memory from the lol Sheamus wins days.
Yeah.
But still, doesn't it feel a little good to see Ziggler win?
Yeah, Sheamus? No, it does. It does.
Yeah, it feels a little like... I don't know what the correct word to describe the feeling, but it's good.
It's things are right.
Yeah.
It was all a ruse to build Sheamus up more as an angry man.
Right. And to be fair, we're seeing a more aggressive side of Ziggler.
Yeah.
Like him flying out there and busting open busting Sheamus wide open at King of the Ring.
The
second night.
Mm-hmm.
That was like it's one of the things where it's like I don't know if we've seen this side of Ziggler. I'm sure we have at some point. I'm just, you know, not remembering. But it's like, all right, Ziggler's got a real rough side to him.
Yeah.
Which, you know, at this point, he needs to show off as many sides of him as he can.
More Ziggler on the TV, the better. Period. The end.
Yes, I agree. Ziggler, you know, he didn't get quite the match payoff. Mm-hmm. That was billed, but I'm okay with it because
I was like, oh.
it was, you know, Kiss Me Arse for a reason. Like, it was a very Sheamus thing.
Well, the sooner we continue this feud without reminding everybody about the stipulation of this match, just the better.
I agree. It's not going to happen, but I agree.
Just
because every Monday night you're going to be like, you're going to hear Michael Cole be like, these two are engaged in, Kiss Me Arse match. Single time.
Yeah.
Same inflection.
We're just gonna. It's a normal feud now. It's just a normal, nice, normal payback feud.
This next match actually has been called Match of the Night by a lot of people. The tag team championship match between New Day and Kid and Cesaro.
Yeah.
Just shy of 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Really fun, really good match. I don't know, because it wasn't really clear if they actually turned Cesaro and Kid face. We heard rumors that they were going to maybe try to do that.
Yeah.
But those guys are just, they're so good. I feel like these guys have really found a chemistry between these two teams. So yeah. I'm hoping this is something that's going to continue. Hopefully they don't, you know,
well,
just drag it into the ground.
Their rematch is on SmackDown, so...
And that's fine, because maybe on SmackDown they'll get, you know, a more time, more than 10 minutes. And if that's the case, by all means, go for it, because from what I saw on Extreme Rules, these guys can have entertaining matches together. And a lot of it, you know, is because we have such big crushes on Kid and Cesaro that I want to see them on TV at all times. Plus, I feel like pretty much everybody involved in this match looked really good.
Yeah, but
it was all cylinders firing.
Yeah, part of this is like it is two teams now where I like both of the teams. Mm-hmm. I would like both of the teams to succeed. Mm-hmm. Very often there's they have a problem with here is a prepackaged team for you. How do we know that they're a team? There's a weird gimmick that ties them together. And I'm like, oh.
Well, that's New Day.
You made it weird gimmick. I know, but New Day fixed it.
Well, yeah, they...
And that's the thing, is like, and so New Day is that. Or they go, what about this dude and this dude? And then you usually have the, I like one of them, you know? And then there's, okay, for the other one. This is a situation where there's a tag team of two guys. I'm like, yep, I love both of those guys. You kind of plucked them randomly, but I love them both. And they should do lots of things together. And then you have the, here's the twist that we have. And they're kind of sandowing it, where they're like,
right.
Let's just take this crappy gimmick
and
spin gold out of it for no reason.
Interesting note, I'm just now checking, and yes, all three members of New Day are listed as tag team champions.
I like that.
Me too. I wish they would have done that with, you know, the Shield, but I'll take this.
I like that.
So, I don't know if they're going to do Freebird rules. I'm guessing so if they're listing all three.
Yeah.
I mean, 9 times out of 10 when they're in the ring, it's Big E and Kofi anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Or somebody, or one of the two with Big E. Like, Big E's always in there.
No, Xavier Woods is usually the shenanigans.
And that's fine, because I think he really excels in that role.
Yeah. No, I'm with you there.
You know, Kofi, you know, it's one of those things where, like, a lot of people had concerns over whether or not he could actually turn heel. You know, especially with, like, all the high-flyer moves, all the, you know, death-defying moves that no one else can do that really gets over the crowd. I guess a way to do that is, you know, A, your attitude. Like, if you are doing those same moves but being, like, a complete cocky jerk about it, that's one way to do it.
Yeah.
You know? But then again, that's kind of what made Ziggler a face.
Yeah,
eventually.
But you know what? They also have Neville right now, so.
Yeah, no, yeah. So we can spread that.
Yeah, like
spread that out a little more.
Neville might have the cool spot at Rumble this January instead of Kofi.
I mean, that's fine.
Although
because
Kofi's last spot was
so dumb.
Yeah.
Anybody could have done that.
God, worst part of that Rumble.
Yeah, I know, right? Like, the ending, like, even that wasn't as bad. Or, you know, certain people being eliminated kind of, like, in a mess situation.
Yeah, got it.
Yeah, no, it all comes down to Kofi getting carried around by the Rosebuds.
Yep, that was definitely the worst thing to happen.
Yep. And then between this was the conclusion of the Chicago Street Fight, where Dean Ambrose and Luke Harper came back in the car and then jumped on a New Day.
No, that's good.
Yeah, that's fine. The Russian chain match between John Cena and Rusev.
So
and Lana got, you know, booted
yeah,
out.
Yeah, I love this. I love this idea that in kayfabe, they have completely Rusev has done absolutely no research on John Cena, where he has picked the stipulations of chain match. From the you know, PhD
the
in Thuganomics.
Yeah, we talked about that. Just, even in KFAB, that's dumb.
And is now choosing an I Quit match. The match stipulation that John Cena has never lost.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, no, it's just, it's one of those things where it's like, and again, this goes kind of what I was talking about. Like, it felt like it was just leading to the next,
yeah.
You know, the next one. Now, the match itself wasn't so leading to that. You know, the match was just, you know, kind of kooky and had lights and whatever. It was fun, whatever.
But you know what?
It was not the worst strap match I've seen. Like, they did some interesting stuff. They did some unique stuff with it. They played with the gimmick. And it's, you know what, like, that type of match, the Four Corners match, is something they bring out maybe every other year or so. And it's just long enough for you to be like, huh, let me see what they do with this. And then that happens, you're like, oh, this is a terrible idea. I see why I hate this thing. And this year it wasn't. I was like, all right, I don't need to see that again next week.
But that's the same outcome then.
No. Where, last time it was, what was it?
Sheamus and Mark Henry?
Yeah, that was never do this again. This is a fool's errand. Don't ever tie wrestlers together. Bad. And now it's like, all right, next time they do that, I'll be okay with it.
Yeah, but you just said, I'll never need to see that again.
I said, I don't want to see it on Raw next week.
Okay, whatever.
It went from a D-minus to a regular C.
Maybe one day they'll be B+.
Eh? Yep.
So yeah, they've already set up for Payback.
Yeah, Payback. I Quit match.
Yeah, an I Quit match between Rusev and Cena, and hopefully that'll be the end of it. I feel like they're going to do the tape recorder shenanigans again, because John Cena has said the words I Quit a lot since then.
Yeah.
Because they did that between Cena and Miz, and then they did once before or whatever, and like John Cena, like, leading up to it, would say I Quit a lot, and basically they used a tape recorder.
You know what? I would be okay with that, because I've been pretty big on, like, a loss to Cena is expected, no reason for Rusev to get buried at all. Like, Rusev should still be coming out of this feud hot.
Mm.
But right now, he's going to lose 3 in a row.
I think after the I Quit match, I think they're going to have Rusev off TV for a little bit.
Yeah.
At least for a couple months, okay. I feel like. And that's fine. It gives him a chance to distance himself from that and then, you know, come back with that kind of return heat. Be like, oh, right, we hate this guy. And he'll, or, you know, he might come back with a little bit of a pop. I doubt it. But if he does, just have them go back to their anti-American stuff. It'll be fine.
Well, I mean, just find your biggest star and have him interrupt the match and put him in an accolade.
Okay. Hate the move, but fine. Whatever. Moving on to the WWE Divas Championship. That's Nikki versus Naomi.
I have a question.
Yep.
Is it about
Naomi's shoes?
Name all of the divas that are faces.
Paige.
Paige?
Kind of, yeah.
Like Paige with a question mark?
Now Brie.
Yeah.
Because they got her cut out on Raw talking about Nana Bryan.
So
Natalya's in a weird in between. Like, her, she's always really mostly been a face,
but she's
associated with her husband and Cesaro.
Definitely heels.
Well, they're kind of in a weird.
I mean, they're in a weird spot too.
But so we might get her.
At best, you have
Paige
2 to 3, all with question marks beside them.
Right, because Alicia Fox goes back and forth like it's nobody's business.
Summer Rae was face for 9 days, maybe?
Pretty much. Rosa's just tongue dancing with Adam Rose, which makes her heel.
Rosa has only been associated with heels. I think she has to be a heel. Eva Marie's a heel, because shut up.
Well, they're trying, because they keep... Because I got, you know, a lot of rumors saying that, you know, those videos of her training with Brian Kendrick, WWE is like, yeah, no, we want you to record this and put this out so people can see you training to get better, and maybe that'll get you over. So far, it's kind of helping, but it's a lot of people.
Nope, shut up. She's a bad guy.
Okay, I don't like whatever.
I mean, if she does something in the ring, I'll reconsider.
Right. And some are saying that maybe Lana is going towards face-ish with the way they've been, you know, having her get kicked out or whatever, because she's, you know, finally like, oh, they like me. Hi, fans. I hate America and I hate you guys, but thanks, you know.
Yeah. You know what? Like, a hope, dream of dreams. This is setting up for a Charlotte debut where Charlotte has to fight the division.
That's fine with me.
That, if that's the case, I take it all back. I'm interested in this. If that's not the case, you guys just, you don't know how to write girls that people like?
Fine, but Naomi's shoes. They light up.
It's just, it, it's stupid. It's
Light-up shoes are pretty cool.
They've turned They've turned their whole division heel.
Yeah, no, yeah.
And it's problematic. And like
because they do the whole thing where all women hate each other, guys. Am I right? You know that whole tired cliche.
Yeah.
And it's one of those, and that's the reason why you know people like Alicia Fox teeters flip back flop. And forth all the time.
Yeah.
You know, it's part of this whole, like, what is happening compared to what should be happening with the whole, you know, give Divas a Chance thing. You know?
I'm telling you, you can save this.
What should be happening is they give them well-rounded, you know, characters. But then again, they're not really giving that to the guys either.
Here's the thing. You fix this by debuting Charlotte and having her fight the whole roster week after week after week.
In good quality matches.
In good quality matches, obviously.
I mean, granted, you can have a squash match with, you know, Rosa or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, yeah. Squash Summer Rae and have a good match with Paige.
Right. Or have a repeat of, you know, the great match between her and Natalya.
Yeah.
You know, Bree and Nikki are getting
better. No, that's the thing.
Ring.
That's the thing.
I think she would have a great match with Naomi. I really think
no,
that.
No, you... A Charlotte and Natalya match should main event Raw. Like, there's no reason why that should not be a main event worthy match of a Raw.
Yeah. I mean, build it right.
Yeah.
And, yeah, like, they have the ability, and the fans, they have the ability to get the fans over if they aren't already, because, you know, the vast majority of them are already on their side if they face each other.
Yeah.
But they have the ability to sway the ones that are like, Divas match closing on Raw, please. You know, they have the ability to kind of sway those people.
Exactly.
Just wishes, man.
Yep.
You know? Moving on to... No, some other people are calling this match in the night. They go back and forth between this and the tag match. Big Show versus Roman Reigns in a Last Man Standing match.
I think I told Blair this already. This was a match of the night because it pulled off the impossible.
We were interested in a Roman Reigns
yes.
Big Show match. Yeah.
Yeah.
I do like the ending. Mm-hmm. The more I thought about it, I do like the ending. With the whole tables thing, that it didn't seem overly too, you know, kooky or hokey.
It didn't
seem
kooky or hokey, and it didn't seem
the running spear up the stairs and on the table was well
yeah.
done.
But it also seemed like a last man standing finisher to that kind of match, you know, because it's really kind of disappointing when they have like the last man standing. And then somebody just actually can't stand up because they're tired, and you're like, oh.
Right. All right. Like when John Cena and Bray Wyatt did the Last Man Standing. Like, he put Bray Wyatt's in a box and put another big box on top of it and then stood on top of that box.
Yeah.
That was like, okay, yeah, you can't probably get out of that unless there was, like, a trap door. So yeah, I did like this. And honestly, like, this is the second time that Big Show's had a Last Man Standing match and been foiled by a table.
Mm-hmm.
First one being on a SmackDown against Alberto Del Rio, where Del Rio, like, pushed the table over on him, but it was, like, long ways, and it didn't look like
right.
that really would, you know, keep him down.
Right.
This one, you know, Roman Reigns, he went long ways with it, which made it visually look more impressive.
It looked impressive.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the biggest things is Roman's came out of this.
And then standing on top of it helped a little bit. You know, I would have liked to have seen him, like, be more firmly on top of it, but whatever. That's nitpicking at that point.
Yeah. But it was a impressive feat of strength. He looks...
Even though we know it's gimmick tables, they don't weigh as much, but still.
It looks like he beat Big Show. That's the thing. Like, it looks like he beat him.
Mm-hmm. It's one of those things, it's like they were so careless with booking Roman leading up to and including the Royal Rumble. And then ever since, they've been so careful and, like, methodical about exactly how they're booking him, especially his pay-per-views.
Yeah.
SmackDown and Raw's, it's Big Show all the time, all day, all the time.
Right.
You know, but on the pay-per-views, they seem like they've been very meticulous about how they booked Roman. And I'm just thinking, like, if they give that much care to everybody else, this would be a great company, great product to watch.
Yeah.
If they would care that much about booking everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And not just so much like they're booking to protect everybody, because you can't do that. You got to have some guys that lose, some guys that lose convincingly, and some people that win convincingly.
Yeah.
You know, you can't always protect everybody, but at that same point, like, make it A, worth something, and B, make them work for it. Mm-hmm. You know, make it mean something.
Yeah. So.
But, wishes, man.
Wishes and nuts.
That's
wishes and butts.
Wishes and nuts.
Wishes and butts for candies and nuts.
That's right. That's what it was. That's main title of the show is going to be Cena's boyfriend's complain or talk about stuff that don't matter. Then underneath it's going to be like, wishes, man.
Wishes.
We'll move on to the cage match, Rollins versus Orton. I mean, it was fine for a cage.
Yeah,
I keep like, saying cave match.
Cage.
Cage match. Yes.
You know what? I feel like I've said a whole lot about the main event scene like 30 minutes ago.
I know, and it's just I don't know. Like cage matches, I think they really need to do some sort of retooling. Like, you know, before they did Hell in a Cell, cage matches meant something mm-hmm. to a lot of people. Like it added a lot of excitement, especially like in like the small like territories, and then you know
yeah.
all through, and then they did the Hell in a Cell thing basically because, you know, they needed something that was more
intense
than that.
Yeah,
and like what's more intense than that? A cage match where you can't get out of it. Mm-hmm. You know. I don't know. I think they would need to retool the way they do these matches. I feel like they need to like, oh, you can't go out the door, and the only way to win is to go over the top. Because otherwise, why even try to go over the top? Because by the time you get to the top of it, your opponent theoretically could just walk out the door.
Yeah,
you know.
Mm-hmm. But, no, I agree.
And completely. So you get like a weird like. Suspending your disbelief in the same way that people, you know, you believing people actually do climb ladders that slow.
Yeah.
No, that same vein.
I completely agree with you. Especially when it's something like this where, like, Randy Orton gets to choose his stipulation, and so, like, he chooses the one where nobody can get in. Like,
except
you clearly,
people get in all the time, and they did get in.
That's the thing. Like, you could have chosen Hell in a Cell. It was your stipulation to pick, and you chose the less intimidating,
mm-hmm.
you know, structure. No, I agree. I think that
it makes me think that maybe Triple H also won a match on that episode of Raw because he had the stipulation of a gatekeeper.
the door can open is dumb.
Mm-hmm. You had that.
Did it not used to be that each guy got one door open?
There might have been like a match that had that or a couple matches that had that stipulation in a way to kind of like rejuvenate some of the mechanics of a cage match, because I kind of vaguely remember something like that too.
I used to think that's what it was, right. And now so, they're just like, let's just leave the door open, right. You guys.
So you had all of these issues that are kind of in the back of most wrestling fans' heads about these steel cage matches, on top of not really anyone really believing in any of the false finishes, anything like that, because everyone's like, all right, we're just going to wait until Kane gets involved, and then we'll start to see. And then, you know, J&J security get involved, like, stuff like that. Like, it's one of those things where, like, they needed an out to have Seth Rollins beat Randy Orton, but Randy Orton still looked strong, still looked like a contender, and, you know, be part of the main event in the next
pay-per-view. Because everything follows everything.
Right. And it's just one of those things where it's like they... The finish wasn't overly convoluted, but it kind of did. It was, you know, it made it a little very predictable. Be like, okay, well, you know, Randy Orton's or Kane's got to get involved. It's kind of like the WrestleMania 27 thing. You involve The Rock so much, and then you get to the main event, and you're like, well, we've only seen the host of the show once.
He's only hosted so far, and I know he's going to do more than that.
Right, because he's talked so much trash about John Cena, so of course he's going to come out. And there he did. Like, so, like, that main event, like, you know, as however you feel about that match, that majority of that match is spent, like, just kind of waiting around until Rock got involved.
Yeah.
You know?
It's spoiled by the format.
Right.
So, I mean, it's just...
So I had a little bit of that. But, I mean, overall, it wasn't a bad match, you know. It's just the whole confusion of the RKO thing where I think like JBL even said at the end, he's like, I don't even know what to think right now or something like that. It's like, is that really the kind of the kind of feeling you want to close out a show?
It just...
Especially a show that was free.
I want...
For a lot of people.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you pay for things.
Right?
I wish, like... Here's the thing. Either way, Seth is walking out with the title.
Right.
I wish there was a clarification as to why. I don't know. Like, I'm a big stickler for, you know, upholding the fake rules that govern these matches.
That they kind of, like, you know, choose when which ones to follow at any given moment. Yeah. Yeah. And it's this one is, like, only now, like, they never did specify Randy Orton can't use the RKO. They're, like, they only said the RKO is banned. And that's the stuff that, you know, the commentators were arguing with each other at the finish. You know?
So the thing is, like,
all right, fine, I guess they didn't think about that, whatever.
They thought about it enough to have them argue about it.
Yeah.
But then...
then why even do it?
Yeah.
You know, but I guess that led to the controversy of should Randy Orton still be involved in the main event, the next one, or whatever. Fine.
Yeah. Sure.
There's a billion better ways to go about that. Yes. They chose the one that was just kind of like, okay, sure, whatever.
Okay. King of the Ring happened.
Yes, King of the Ring did happen, which I like how they did it this year.
Yeah.
There's some mystique too.
Well, okay, so
like the old pay-per-view where they would have the entire tournament in one night.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you know, they can't for whatever reason can't dedicate an entire episode of Raw to this one thing.
Yeah.
You know? Because Lord knows they never, ever, ever, ever do it any other time, Slammies. So, you know, so they're not going to dedicate this entire time to this tournament. So, having that part of this big network week that they're wanting to talk about.
Which,
wanting,
you know what, really that's...
I feel like this is a good way to do it, because, oh yeah, this is a wrestling company, mm-hmm. so let's promote a wrestling event on our network and have that as a special event.
Like, I do like that, I do like that. I kind of feel like, oh, there's, like, literally no build-up to it. We found out on Sunday that it'll be on Tuesday.
Right.
So it's Barrett one, by the way.
Yeah.
But it's a little hard to be like...
This is how they get rid of the whole bad news thing at the beginning.
You think it's going to just be King Barrett
King
for a while?
And they absolutely.
And they're just going to push away the bad news mm-hmm. thing?
They're going to have him be King Barrett until they come up with another gimmick for him.
Well, like, it's just... I don't know, it's kind of hard to see, like, oh, this means they have big plans for him.
No.
Because
they totally had big plans for King Sheamus.
See, that's the thing, is though, I feel like they did for Sheamus. Like, they were high on Sheamus at the time.
Yeah.
I mean,
but it was at the very tail end of him as a heel.
Yeah.
You know, like, it was right towards the end, and I really only... I have this memory of King Sheamus just not working.
No,
I think he had, like, one feud with John Morrison at the time.
Like, King Sheamus didn't work, but that was, like, right at the time of, like, that we... It looked like... they were building up their next big monster.
Right.
I mean, this was, you know, this was probably less than a year after he beat John Cena debuted within 6 months. And
he was one of those two guys that won a major championship before winning King of the Ring.
Yeah.
It was interesting.
So, I mean, so that's the thing. It felt like they were big on him being their next big thing for a while. But this one just feels kind of like, all right.
Wade Barrett's got something to talk about for the next few weeks.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's really that's how it feels. Yeah. Might lead to a feud against Neville. Maybe R-Truth, I don't know. R-Truth's involvement, the fact and him getting that far with it just baffles me. But, you know, whatever. You know, give the guy something to do.
I mean, R-Truth is one who, like, I can always let a microphone hang in front of for a while.
Yeah, he's a little too hung up on the spider thing. Like, that's kind of becoming his thing now. It's like, yeah, it was funny, like, a few years ago, and maybe funny when he brought it back up again.
Okay, like, got hung up, but has he mentioned it at all between the debate and...
Yeah, whenever they had him in the ladder match, because it was the same joke. It was the same joke, really. It was like, oh, yeah, there's this ladder match, and Michael Cole said, like, the actual name for the fear of height or the fear of ladders, whatever, and he would be like, "I'm not afraid of spiders, or I'm afraid of spiders, like or something like that." It's like arachnophobia. There's no spiders in this involved, is there, or something like that. So it was kind of like that joke part of it. And so when they were talking about this intercontinental ladder match, that's when it came back up.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like that was what, a month ago.
Yeah, so but he's been on TV since then, so it feels like he's the spider guy all of a sudden. Spider guy, worst superhero ever.
Spider guy. Okay, so is there anything else we need to cover? I mean,
not specifically.
Raw was a big bucket of nothing.
Did you watch Too Hot for TV? Which was literally a clip show of things that were on TV.
Yeah, it's like at one point. Acknowledged that TV, Too Hot for TV, was a thing.
I watched. Well, I watched it in the background.
I don't know. Like, that's kind of like one of the worst examples of what the network has to offer.
Yeah, it was. You know,
and I'm just like.
Anytime you hear Mark Henry saying, "Dear God, is that a penis?" really, really messes with you.
I feel like Vince sees Jerry Springer as a celebrity that
still is relevant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe it's because I'm not staying home sick from middle school anymore these days, but like...
Yeah.
Is the Jerry Springer show still on?
I don't know. Like, pretty much, like, the guy now is Maury or whatever.
Yeah, he's
been the guy for a while now. And honestly, I didn't think, you know, I know Jerry Springer's bodyguard has a show now.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Wilkos. Yeah,
so, I guess. We both said the same word.
It's one of those things, right? Neither one of us really want to admit that we knew his name like right at the drop of a hat. So we kind of played a little game of I don't know who he is. There's
Steve Wilkos and then Steve. Wazowski? Which one helped invent Apple? That was another Steve.
The second one.
Yeah. No, so is that, but it's like...
Why are you even getting those two confused? Their name is Steve.
Steve.
There's a lot of Steve.
And then a W name. And so
this
both
isn't
like,
an Adrian Aaron Neville situation.
God, what's his real name? Adrian Neville. God, see? Neville.
It's just Neville. That's not even his real name.
It's just Neville now. I got it. they solved the problem for me.
Sure. That's why they did it.
All right.
So what's making you happy this week, Joel?
You go first.
Avengers coming out this week.
Avengers is coming out this weekend.
We need to figure out what we're doing for that night.
Yeah, Avengers is coming out this weekend.
Yeah.
That'll be good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that can
be. And this might be our platform to talk about it, but me and you are really like, we just don't like this whole, like, quote-unquote midnight opening happening at...
Avengers comes out at 7 on Thursday.
7?
7 on Thursday.
Holy, I thought it was just 10.
They have a 7 o'clock, an 8 o'clock, and a 10 o'clock show of Avengers. I'm like, that just comes out on Thursday now.
Yeah, like, just, oh my god. Just, like, I understand, like, you get more people if you have it earlier, like, people who have work or school the next day, fine, yeah. I get that. But that kind of takes the fun out of it. Here's the thing.
So...
The society's turning into unfun pricks.
So I've been having this, like, you know... I've started to realize, like, you know what? I cannot midnight all the movies I could midnight in college. Like, in college, every movie, let's go midnight.
Right.
And, like,
now you got to wait to the ones that you really feel passionate about.
Well, I looked at them, like, Avengers get midnight and Star Wars get midnight. And I looked at it, I was like, you know what? Like, Spectre, I'll watch on the weekend, you know?
Right.
Like, well, that's the thing. Like, I would have straight up midnight. It's a James Bond movie. I'm super excited about it. Mad Max, same way, super excited about it. Would have definitely midnight in college. Mm-hmm. I can't midnight everything, and so, like, I kind of pared it down to the big ones. But I'm like, you know what? You know, if I go to Avengers at midnight, you know, there's a fair chance I might take a vacation day that Friday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of thing. But I'm like, if they're not going to do a midnight thing, and they're going to do all this, like, 7, 8, 10 crap over here, maybe I just take that vacation day Friday anyway and just, like, first matinee on Friday. It's like, there we go.
So I can get a good night's sleep.
Yeah.
And then go
get
watch
a good night's sleep.
Avoid
not have to deal with the crowds. Not have to pay as much. Just, yeah. That might be my point.
Especially for stuff like Star Wars, that midnight crowd is part of the fun.
It is part of the fun.
I've yet to be at a midnight showing for a Star Wars movie.
It is definitely part of the fun. Star Wars is awesome.
I'm not arguing with you. So, is there anywhere showing midnight?
No, not near us.
You kidding me?
No.
I get off at 11.
No, you're not going to go see Avengers at midnight.
Oh my god.
Not even joking.
Sucks.
Yep. Yeah.
God, now I'm gonna get up early on Friday and watch Avengers before work.
Welcome to America.
This society is crumbling. And it starts with this. That's what's making me happy.
So I was like, I don't know why you wanted to bring this up in the segment literally titled "What's Making Me Happy."
Because you said that you were gonna look into like exactly what times we were going.
And guess what I found out?
that just makes me
so
sad.
You ruined it up.
Still, I'm looking forward to the movie.
I'm looking forward to the movie. It's
I saw a quick review, didn't really give away like plot or anything, just a little bit of, you know, what to look forward to here and there. And so far, I'm still very excited.
Yeah, no, this and summer movies are getting kicked off.
This is the kickoff for summer movies, which is always fun.
So that's good. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CR Attire, where we live tweet all Mondays and appropriate Sundays.
If you have any questions, comments, hate mail, apparently, or if you want to say what our voices make you think, feel, I guess that's really just our comments anyway.
Yeah.
Send those over to our email. That's classofringattire@gmail.com.
We're also on iTunes. Easiest way to follow the podcast. If you're not doing that already, just go over to iTunes, look us up. You can subscribe. Give us a rating of
5 donut PJs.
Or write a review. Any of that kind of stuff really helps out the podcast.
And if you are listening to us on insidepulse.com/wrestling, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear it from you, especially if your Joel smells like burnt nut hair.
Don't forget... Facebook as well. Easy way to follow the podcast. Just can't keep up with things. Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.